The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in the United Kingdom. At the presently, I'm up in Oban in Scotland, finding out where my ancestors are from. The rain is horizontal up here, but this is Colombia Calling, where we talk about all things Columbia related, and indeed episode 280 is no exception to that rule. We will start with segment two with the news update from Adrian Alsema there in Medellin, telling us about the week that was in Columbia, and then we'll be talking to a very special guest on the line in London, talking about her desire and her success in creating a startup business in Colombia called Mi Casa Petite. So we'll be talking to Shakira Mustafa about that later on in segment three. And for any of you out there thinking of retiring to Colombia and setting up a business on the side, or just setting up a business at some point here, you'd do well to listen to some of the challenges that Shakira, a young woman of color, has faced here in Colombia. So this is episode 280. I'm Richard McCall. Please don't go away.
My name is Adrian Alsema, and this is the news for Colombia Calling for July 2, 2019. The U.S. government said that coca cultivation in Colombia leveled out in 2018, contradicting previous claims made by President Donald Trump and the DEA. Many experts don't take the White House estimate seriously and are waiting for the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime to release their annual estimate. The UNODC's Colombia chief said these figures could be released later this month. The announcement of President Iván Duque to resume the aerial fumigation of coca has been met with criticism by the UNODC, experts, and the Catholic Church. All have urged the president to comply with the country's peace deal that includes a counter-narcotic strategy that would allow farmers to be included in the legal economy. UNODC Colombia Chief Pierre Lapac said that the repressive strategies preferred by Washington and Bogota make no sense because they don't tackle the root of the problem. The United Nations Security Council will visit Colombia this month in another diplomatic push in favor of the country's peace process. The top body will travel to Bogota and a FARC reintegration site to talk to President Iván Duque, demobilized guerrillas, and community leaders. The peace process has been in an almost perpetual crisis over the government's failures to comply with the agreement made by Duque's predecessor Juan Manuel Santos, the FARC, and victim representatives. The president announced a number of unilateral measures to curb the killing of FARC members after a recent spike. The measures include an elite police unit to investigate threats and increased intelligence capacity in cases of violence. The FARC announced its own measures and said it would mobilize society to reject the far right, their assassins, and their paramilitaries. The former guerrilla's political party fiercely rejected the possibility of taking up arms again. More than 100 victim organizations accused the government of using a civilian informant network to repress rural communities. According to the organizations, the controversial network that was supposed to help authorities fight crime is in fact used to repress social organization and protest that could be inconvenient for the Duque administration. Victim representative Marta Aguirre said that rural communities live in constant fear of paramilitary and guerrilla groups. "We can't denounce anything or they kill us," she told press. Colombia's chief prosecutor promised senators who have been threatened by the Águilas Negras to investigate the far-right group. Authorities officially deny the existence of the group despite the more than 300 death threats signed by Águilas Negras over the past decade. In one of the most recent death threats, the Águilas Negras threatened to kill the president of the country's war crimes tribunal, Bogota mayoral candidate Claudia López, and multiple leftist senators. That's the end of this week's news bulletin. Now back to Colombia Calling with Richard McCall.
And we're back. It's that time of the week again, folks. This is episode 280, and I said in the beginning of this podcast, in the first segment, we have a very special guest on the show. Both of us are in London, but are in different sections of London, so we're on the line to Shakira Mustafa, and we're going to talk about how it is that an Anglo-Nigerian Australian ended up in Colombia setting up a small business called Mi Casa Petite, all about sort of a prefabricated, almost like a treehouse style building. But I'm going to let her, describe what she did and why. So first of all, welcome on Colombia Calling, Shakira.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Richard. It's a pleasure.
And how's your time in London? I know that I'm having a phenomenal time.
Yeah, I'm having an amazing time. I'm in London, taking my foot off the accelerator, una pausa, seeing friends and family, and yeah, just ensuring that my sanity is all in check. And the weather here has been really good this week. So I'm really enjoying it.
It's true. It has been good. We've been having a great time. And it's, as you say, you're taking your foot off the pedal a little bit, coming home, taking a break. But let's get into this a little bit. So, Mi Casa Petite, describe to us a little bit about these cabins, I think best said, that you are, you own like a franchise to.
So, yeah, Mi Casa Petite is basically a tiny house hotel. It's being billed as Colombia's first kind of eco-friendly tiny house lodging business that's responsible, sustainable, and basically consciously aware of the balance between, the recent growth in tourism in the country and the well-being of local communities. So I see it as very much, quite holistic. It's not all about, just arriving to Colombia, setting up a hotel and, making money. It's meant to promote local culture and products whilst respecting the environment and create like positive social change and provide jobs for people. The houses themselves come from the concept of tiny houses, which has been a recent kind of social movement whereby people are choosing to downsize the space that they live in and simplify their lives and embrace the tiny life philosophy, shall we say. And it's a movement that's, whilst living simply, it's also living within a small footprint, shall we say, and I'm using that concept and turning it into an eco hotel or tiny house hotel.
That's pretty I like the enterprise, I like the idea. When we talk about a tiny house hotel, these little cabins, they're made out of wood. How big are they?
So they're about 20 meters squared. So one side, I guess, is 2.5 meters by 5.5 meters. And then there's like a mezzanine level, which is where, you know, there's a staircase that leads up to it. And that's where, you know, you place a double bed, becomes a bedroom. Each cabin can fit up to 4 people. So the salon area, you know, you have a, I guess, a sofa bed, which, yeah, which will be, you know, converted during the day into a salon. And then in the evening, can form a bed if there are 4 people there. There's like a kitchen and a shower bathroom area as well.
Wow. I think I've lived in flats smaller than this in my life. And so you got this concept, this design, this the rights behind the design, and you decided Colombia is the place for this. So where, I mean, thank you for that. This is radio. We have to talk. No, but Shakira, tell me, where can you see this in Colombia? I mean, I can imagine it in certain areas of the coffee zone, perhaps not too tropical because of the problem of all the bugs and the wood and so on. But what are you looking at doing? I mean, how are you looking at setting this up?
So over the last few months, this has been the conversation and the research, part of, you know, the process of getting the whole business set up. And it's been a bit of a slog in respect of finding the perfect location. I think the idea is that the houses, also because they are prefabricated, can be, the design can be adapted to the environment. So, for example, if we were to go to the Pacific, and that was the one of the regions that I have researched, we would have to make quite significant changes and modifications to the design. I mean, when I first approached, you know, looking at land, my image was, you know, of mountain scenery, and, you know, overlooking rivers and things like that, and for me that would be my ideal, somewhere like Santander, in the northern parts of Santander, in the, like you said, in the coffee zone, or even in Antioquia. These are the places that really truly speak to me, but I've been quite open to other areas as well, and so yeah, it's a case of adapting the design primarily.
Fantastic. And have you had success? You set up the business. First of all, I'll start with that. How long ago have you been working on this in Colombia?
So it's been 6 months in the making so far up to date. The first few months was quite stressful for me. I was buried in a lot of the legal side of things and the legal preparations. I had to get my visa. I had to, yeah, organize all the paperwork for my visa. I decided to do it myself, which was it wasn't an easy feat. It was either that or pay a ton of money to someone to get it sorted for me. But I wanted to. The reason I did it myself was because I wanted to see each process through, and I wanted to get a real understanding of what it meant to actually come to Colombia and actually, you know, set up a business and be able to advise others and actually be educated within the system. The Chamber of Commerce in Bogota is actually very well run. There's, you know, there are a lot of things to be said about it that are good. And, you know, obviously they have their own set of inefficiencies as well. So 6 months of setting up, doing the legal side of things, and then launching into the business. I've made a lot of contacts. Colombia for me has been, in respect of learning, it's a lot of word of mouth. It's a lot of my uncles, aunties, brothers, sister can help you with something, and cottoning onto that, and, you know, leveraging those networks and networking opportunities to get me to where I am. At this point in time, so yeah, it's been 6 months.
I overwhelmed that you decided to do this, the paperwork and all of the legal side of things on your own? I think this is to be highly commended. I have been here almost 13 years and I did it at the beginning, but there were so many different sort of legal caveats and loopholes and ways around systems that were legitimate. I mean, it seems that they have been placed into the system that I just ended up several years later giving it all over to my accountant, who fortunately doesn't charge me the earth, but equally so, it's a miasma. I know that the Chamber of Commerce is actually quite helpful, but to have to sit down and go through those extensive legal forms, I'm impressed.
Thank you. I mean, obviously, I did have help with it. It's about, you know, for me, it was very important to be on the ground. It's also being a woman in Colombia and running these things. You know, I'm very aware of the fact that people can tell you things and, you know, you think it's the truth, and without having that background knowledge, you're almost naive in this, you know, big landscape. And so I didn't want that for myself. I wanted to be informed so that, you know, if to protect myself.
That said, it's got to be peculiar, because with that thought about, I'm thinking of you said a woman, you're on the ground and you're informed. I think no one expects you to come to the table informed. They expect to be able to push you over and say, oh, this little foreigner, she won't know what she's doing. Did you find that?
So, yeah, that's a very good question. Over the last 6 months, it's something that has kind of been this cloud that has floated over me, over my experience, and I've learned from it. You very quickly see when people are trying to take advantage of you. Soon as, you know, they see you and they think, oh, you know, she's Colombian. Of course she's Colombian. I'm of African descent. You know, I walk the walk, I talk the talk. But as soon as, you know, I've said a few sentences and they hear that the accent isn't quite right, they're like, oh, hold on a second. You don't sound very Colombian. Where are you from? And then the glaze over the eyes kind of changes, and it's you can really catch those moments whereby you're like, okay, now I've got to be ready for them, for someone who's about to, you know, try and sell me something or try and tell me that something's better than it is and convince me of something and basically try and take advantage of me. So yeah, it's been a challenge being a woman an African woman, coming into meetings with these men primarily has been, it hasn't been easy. The look on people's faces of, oh, hold on a second, I'm doing business with a young black woman. Like, what? I'm not. It's almost like they're not really understanding that could be a thing. And so for me, it's been very important to be able to empower people and empower other women, in particular Afro-Colombian women, that this is possible, that you can make a small make a difference and make a small impact and start by starting small and creating a business. This was why I was, when I went to the Pacific, for example, like, you know, I was welcomed with opened arms, because for them it was you know, where this is where the area where there's it's quite concentrated with Afro-Colombians, they were really impressed that, and they hadn't seen a young Afro woman come in and be like, yeah, you know, I want to help you, I want to support you, let's, you know, let's see if we can create a project together. It really was something that touched me, and it is something, is a reason, and one of the reasons why I wanted to come to Colombia and create such a business. Colombia isn't easy to navigate. It's in respect of business. It's a great place to travel. You can be, you know, totally oblivious to all the politics that's going on, and you can just enjoy the country for what it is. But once you step into that business landscape, it's just turns into something quite different and has actually changed my view of Colombia quite a lot.
I don't want to push the issue so much, but I think there's a, in my own life, there's a before and an after. The before, even though I was setting up a business, even though I was writing about Colombia, I was still pushing for an overwhelmingly positive feel and ambience. And then I reached a mid stage, which was several years in, so it's now top heavy mid stage, but I reached a mid stage where I couldn't anymore just kind of represent a glossy travel magazine about the country. I had to do something else. I had to become more committed to what was going on in the country, and business ethics and business practices changed. I became more hard-nosed. I became more, I don't know what else, but would you say it was that kind of thing? I don't know.
Absolutely. I have, even just in my 6 months, I think I developed a thick skin. Mm. They it's funny to me, even just speaking to taxi drivers, you know, they'll tell you that Colombians are like politicians, you know, they'll promise you the world, but they don't quite deliver. Mm. which is when quite something that's come up for me quite a bit. The culture is very they're very proud, and they're not very good at saying no. And so it's, you're dealing with all these moving parts where the culture is kind of almost interrupting business processes or business flows. And so, for example, like one experience is meetings, you know, something as simple as saying to me, okay, well, we're having a meeting at 8 a.m. And then you arrive at 8 a.m., but the meeting doesn't start until 9:30. Mm-hmm. And you've wasted an hour and a half. And then at the end, if you need to rush off or whatever, it's rude to not say goodbye and you know, despedirse de la gente. So, you know, it's all these little kind of nuances, and I'm like, but wait, like I was rushing off, and you know, and you're telling me that I was being rude whilst you wasted an hour and a half of my time. Like, you know, there's no sense of the respect for people's time, and you're dealing with all these tiny little things, and yet on top of all of that, you're trying to stay positive. You're trying to keep that thick skin. You're trying to protect yourself. You don't want people to take advantage of you. And so there's all these things going on in your mind. And as a small business owner, you're also having to juggle all of the things that comes with running a business. You know, like you're the marketing manager, you're the project manager, you're the, you know, the shop assistant, you're the everything of your business. And it's all of that within a new surrounding, that, you know, your average Colombian businessman isn't necessarily thinking about when they're trying to sell you something. Mm-hmm. they've mostly got what they want in mind out of you, and they're pushing you into that corner to try and change your mind or convince you that you need to go with them, you know. And there's this element of almost like selfishness. You know, I'm not going to lie. I have felt that some Colombians do get really selfish and they really look after themselves first before they think of others. And that's been really challenging to try and, you know, bring people to the table and convince them that let's think about the whole picture. Let's think about how this is affecting other people and not just yourselves. So just even within my 6 months, my learning has kind of, you know, it's shot up. And whilst I to this day, I'm like, no, I believe in Colombia. I want to stay positive. It hasn't all been plain sailing. Yeah.
Well, I think that's, I mean, truly a very revealing and very profound reflection on things. And I love that point about, you say, the cultural nuances, I believe, hindering the business process. And I think that's incredible, an incredible thing to be able to say, and also so spot on when you say it. And so I consider that, and I just think you've done so much. You've launched this business. You went about it the way you would, and for certain in, let's say, you know, the UK, but with some Colombian, obviously, aspects brought into it. And then, I mean, I know for a fact that you went down and you took Mi Casa Petit to Corferias, which is the big convention center. And I suppose there was a sort of like a construction fair. You were at that and you were promoting. I can only imagine that the cultural nuances really revealed themselves at your experience there.
Absolutely. So when I was approached by this solar energy company to form part of, a collective of, you know, small business organizations to come together to be able to, yeah, show off each person's business. So mine obviously was the hotel, and obviously we wanted to marry how the tiny house hotel would work with, you know, solar panels and, you know, a casa inteligente, an intelligent house, and how that all comes together. And so, you know, this was also with the company that also did the garden that was surrounding the outside of the house, etc. So in theory, it was, you know, a good partnership. And so I came and I said, yeah, sure, this is great. Great publicity. It means I can talk to people. We can make a prototype of the house and really get some feedback from people about what they think of the design, as well as get potential, you know, landowner interests. So, yeah, you know, we set up and everything. And indeed, we got a lot of interest. There were so many people that walked in and they were just so impressed because they hadn't seen something like this done before. And that's when I really, that touched me in a good way. And I thought, yes, you know, I'm on a good run here. This is going to be a great, great business and everything. What I didn't anticipate was you know, we are in Bogota. There was a lot of Bogotanos, a lot of Bogotanos with money, you know, a lot of Bogotanos with fincas, you know, backyards, etc., within Cundinamarca. And so while I got a lot of contacts, but in my follow-up, so afterwards, this is calling people and everything. Everyone thinks that they've got the best land ever. And they will talk to you as if it's, you know, you just can't go without stopping by their finca and having a look. So, of course, I had to do a spreadsheet. I had to do some filters and I had to really look at the map and say, okay, where are these people located? And of course, you know, they're all within a couple of hours of Bogota and everything. And I did go and see some of these lands, but it was, there were there was a quite a high expectation from my part, and I was quickly disappointed in that a lot of these people had their fincas, but they built their houses on these fincas, and then they want you to rent their backyard.
Mm, that's it.
So it kind of goes, you know, whilst you can explain to death your concept, it kind of went against the concept because, you know, the idea is that it's this eco-friendly place, nature and peace, and it's not about arriving in someone's backyard and looking at, on one side looking at a concrete building and then on the other side looking into the woods. So that was the kind of downside to being in Corferias, because I had a lot of offers, but the offers weren't quite what I was looking for. In saying that, there were a handful of people that we are still in talks, whereby their lands are slightly more appropriate, shall we say. And we are still, you know, going back and forth. And, you know, I've had a long list of questions, which, you know, is about, does the location have water? Does it have running electricity? You know, how far is it away from a pueblo? You know, how can you walk from the pueblo? Are there tourism activities surrounding the area? What sorts of activities, and, you know, what nature activities are around? And, you know, these are the types of questions that I've, you know, put in a long document so that people can answer them prior to me going, okay, your land is worthy of a visit. You know, how can we start a business here?
Wow. And did people actually fill out these documents?
Yeah. So I've had a lot of people have filled them out, and they've come back to me, and I've gone, yep, yes and no. And, you know, send me some photos as well, and send me a video. So people are keen. And this is something that's really positive. Like, people are actually very keen to do business in Colombia. You know, they see it as an exciting opportunity. There was a good amount of feedback from people that, you know, they were like, oh, you know, I've had something in mind like this for a while. I've just haven't had the means of, you know, how to deliver something like this. It would be great if we can partner up. And, you know, I had some offers of free lunches from people because they were really interested in me and really seemed to want to kind of invest in me as a person. And those were the people that like, you know, that I was taken to. And, you know, and then of course on the flip side, you know, you had the machismo, the guys that were like, yes, well, you know, I've got three pieces of land and it's the best in the world, and of course you want it, you know. And it was about filtering through that at Corferias, because yeah, it was an expo construction fair and expo design. And so I was actually really overwhelmed by how many males came through that fair. It threw me off a little.
I'm absolutely certain. And of course, you're in a huge, huge minority.
Yes.
Huge.
And there were moments as well, like I had, I contracted a helper with me who, you know, was a male Colombian, worked in the tourist industry, absolutely fantastic, like really helped me sell my business. But it was funny when people approached us and then immediately looked at him and not at me. And he was, you know, he had to kind of throw it back to me and say, no, Shakira, she is the proprietor of this business. And, you know, the look of kind of, oh, right. You know, like, oh, okay. So we're supposed to be talking to you. You know, it was very strange navigating all of that, but a learning experience.
Do you, I mean, as a general sort of comment kind of question here, do you feel in your 6 months in Colombia that things may have improved for you in this respect, or is still swimming against the current?
I think having the 6 months there, like, you know, shall we say, being in country, I at this point don't feel like I'm swimming against the current. You know, I think in the background that will always be there because I'm not native,
yeah.
But I think I've been there now for that amount of time in, you know, in business, you know, in within camera, the commercial, I've been at the Chamber of Commerce, I've been at the workshops. I have developed an understanding that means that I can spot the signs. I know what the current is, and I can actually swim with it. So I can pick up on if I can see someone steering me in one direction, I can pull them back now. And I've developed a confidence that means that I can speak with clout. You know, I have to be this scared foreigner that's like, oh God, you know, I'm this scared foreigner, and you know, where's my money going, and who are these people? they're trying to take all my money away from me. No, I'm actually to a point where now I'm confident enough to work with people. I'm working with architects now. We're looking at the design in more detail, and I know where to go for contacts and for help, I guess, you know. And you know, there are actually organizations set up like BrickCham who help with people of from the UK, and connect them with Colombian businesses, etc. So there's that happening, and it's all about finding those people that can help you and support you. And the other thing that has got me through actually is having the support of friends. You know, being on the phone each week to my own friends and family, you know, looking outside of the box and seeing things from, you know, an eagle-eyed perspective. There's nothing that could be said for having that support, the family support and friends from home that will check in with you. You know, I have a professional mentor that I meet with every month. And so these are sorts of things that you need in place to keep your sanity in check. Otherwise, you know, you just can't be naive in a country like Colombia, because you will get walked all over and taken advantage of.
Well, I mean, very upbeat, very real, very honest with us here. I think you've approached this obviously with the right attitude. I love the fact that you say that you can recognize, let's say, the signpost when people are start to push you some way in a conversation, and you know how to, let's say, apply the pressure to steer them back on course. I love that. But as we're winding this down, we've only got a couple of minutes left. I mean, you've done your first 6 months. You've had reasonable success. Where do you go from here, Shakira?
So from here, as I said earlier, where I'm in discussions with various people in different locations within Colombia, just a couple, and we are now talking in more detail about whether these locations are, you know, the right places for my business and how we go from there, or, you know, whether it means we're adapting the design, or whether, you know, it's the land is completely suitable, and, you know, what the tourism aspects look around the hotel business itself. And yeah, it's about the next few months are about locking a piece of land down, and again, you know, I'm still open, you know, to any other, if anybody else wants to approach me with potential land sites or opportunities. I'm also happy to work in partnership with others, and primarily it's about finding that piece of land and getting the business operating before the end of the year.
Fantastic. What's your website, Shakira?
So it's www.micasapetit.com, which is forwarding to our social media site. So if you do a search on Mi Casa Petit, you should find it. We're also on Instagram, Mi Casa Petit. Yeah, go for it and support us.
Well, thank you. I mean, thank you so much for sharing some of these insights, not only from, you know, a young woman of color, but someone also setting up a business from scratch in a male-dominated society such as Colombia, with all of the challenges that this implies. Let me take this moment to say thank you so much to Shakira Mustafa for her openness in sharing some of this with us, with the listeners. And I know that my listeners, a lot of whom are considering starting businesses in Colombia, retirees, younger people, so on, lots of people are interested in Colombia, but you have managed to, you've brought some of the realities, good and bad, out to the fore for us here. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, it's been a real pleasure. Check out mipcasapetit.com. That will go to the Facebook page and other other pages of social media, Instagram and so on. If you want to get in touch with Shakira Mustafa, her links are all over our Facebook page, of course, and we will gladly put you in contact if you are interested in the product that she is selling. And indeed, if you probably, I think there might be no better person to be able to, as they say in Colombia, asesorar anyone who wants to set up a business in Colombia, because I think she's been through the whole process alone. So that's been episode 280 of the Colombia Calling podcast. We've been reporting here from London. Yeah, I'll be here for another couple of weeks, and then we'll be back in the chaos that is my new adopted homeland of Colombia. But thank you so much for listening. Of course, get in touch on ColombiaCalling@gmail.com, at ColombiaCalling at Twitter. We're also on Facebook. And, well, let's sign off today, and we'll be back with episode 281 with another interviewee in the pipeline talking about something to do with Colombia. Thank you again. Bye-bye.